So today, let's think about newness, new things. Of course, we're thinking about the new year, and I'd like to talk about newness and a few of its aspects. At this time, it seems right to celebrate the new, and indeed, the Bible has that as a strong theme. Let's think about how out with the old and in with the new might actually be a good biblical approach. Old and New Testaments. Let's consider a very practical bit of old and new in the Bible. The Old Testament and the New Testament. This is a fundamental change from old to new. The newness of the New Testament is all about Jesus. It's the coming of Jesus which changes the narrative. It's the whole new twist in the story. When Jesus comes into the story in the Bible, a fundamental key is turned. The promises which were given in the Old Testament come to pass. Jesus completes the story and turns the page onto a new story. The Old Testament is the preparation. It's the setting the stage to reveal the heart and the actions of God. The Old Testament points forward to God solving man's basic problem, and Jesus is the solution. So, as soon as the New Testament starts, there's a new story, a new beginning. This newness of the New Testament is so important. We must keep it at the front of our thinking in all that we read in the Bible. The Old Testament was setting the groundwork, the background, the reason why. The New Testament reveals the love, the power, the heart of God. New creations. Let's consider the newness of life which Jesus brings us. When we get to know Jesus, we become something new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. That was Corinthians. How about Galatians? Galatians 6:11 and then 14. See what big letters I write, I make now with my own hand. As for me, however, I will boast only about the cross of Lord Jesus Christ, for by means of his cross the world is dead to me and I am dead to the world. It does not matter at all whether or not one is circumcised. What does matter is being a new creation. This idea of being a new creation, a new creature, is an exciting one. The idea is so radical that some people were suggesting that new Christians should be circumcised, should become like a Jew to show just how much they were a new creature. But Paul's advice to the Christians in Galatia was that it was the change in their hearts rather than cutting their body that mattered. The change which had happened when they accepted Jesus meant that they were new creations in their heart, their spirit, their soul. Their body wasn't the important thing. Being new creatures means Christians are different from those around them, not in the physical things, but in the spiritual things. In some ways, we can consider ourselves like aliens. The Bible has this term, a stranger in a strange land, Exodus 2:22, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. I remember a bit of street drama where the message was that we need to tell all humans that there are aliens living in our midst. But they're not big green monsters. They're people who have been transformed by knowing Jesus. Because they're new creatures, they're different enough to upset the whole human race. So new birth, being born again. So How do we become something new when we get to know Jesus? Jesus himself described this as a process like birth. And this was when he was asked directly about it by a guy called Nicodemus. John 3:3-17. Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." "How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly can't enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I am telling you the truth," replied Jesus, "that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. It's like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this? I'm telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world, so how will you ever believe me then when I tell you about things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour." That John 3 passage is often quoted. Indeed, John 3:16 is really fundamental, probably the favourite verse of evangelical Christians, because it captures such basic truth about how God reaches out to us. Let's read it again. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life." The start of that eternal life, the birth into that new life, is such a wonderful idea. Jesus talks about being born of water and of the Spirit. Born firstly because of human parents, and then new birth because of the Holy Spirit. And this new birth is into a life which is eternal, a life which never ends. What's that old quote about, in this world nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes? Well, that might have been Benjamin Franklin's view on life, but the Bible sees it differently. This new birth is the most significant thing which happens in anyone's life. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. You could probably say there are two significant things in a person's life. They are physically born and they physically die. But for Christians, there's one even more significant point. They are born again. They start this new life, this spiritual life. I've heard too many people use phrases like, "I try to be a Christian," or "I think I believe." And that worries me and disturbs me. I think it reflects that we've made the gospel some sort of test of merit, some sort of "am I good enough" game. That's not how I read the New Testament at all. In my reading of it, the Bible is quite clear. None of us are good enough. We have all fallen short of the required pass mark, because the pass mark is 100%. None of us can reach that. Instead, God gave us a new way to get that eternal life which he wants us to have. That is, by being born again. When our scorecard is ripped up, Instead of what we had from our physical birth and our life so far, we are given a clean sheet. When we are born again, a new life starts, and it's that new life that changes everything. Sure, we've still got remnants of the old physical life about us, but inwardly, we're completely made new. When we're born physically, we move from the surroundings of our mother's womb into the environment of the world, and our physical functions change. We begin to breathe air, eat food, move our limbs, communicate with other people. When we're born again, we move into a new, a spiritual world. We start to pray, worship, communicate with God. We have a new life which stretches out in a different dimension. We know that we're born physically because of what we experience in the physical world. We know we've been born again because of what we experience in the spiritual world. Answered prayer, an inner peace with God, an understanding of God's presence, the ability to know God's heart and desires. A new entry in the Book of Life. Another way the Bible talks about this new life, which we start when we get to know Jesus, is the idea of our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This features in a few places in the Book of Revelation. And the one thing I've often said about this image is that the entries in the Book of Life are not written in pencil. In other words, once you give your life to Jesus, your name is written there and it will not be removed. You have a new life. And this thing, the thing about this new life is that there is no death in it. Eternal life really means that it goes on forever because it's beyond time. That subject is hard to get our head around. But that's what eternal means, without end. A new nature. We're given a new nature in Christ. Look at Ephesians 4:23. Your hearts and minds must be made completely new, and you must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. That passage talks about a completely new heart and mind. Imagine that. We're given something new at our very core. The thing that moves us, drives us, gives us reason to live. It's all new. And it's given directly from God. It's part of God's heart in our heart. It's a reflection of God's mind in our mind. That's a new something that works its way out in our lives if we let it. So this new self, this new nature, new self, it's a big concept. Let's look at Colossians 3 verse 8. But now you must get rid of all these things, anger, passion and hateful feelings. No insults or obscene talk must ever come from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have put off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self. This is the new being which God, its creator, is constantly renewing in his own image in order to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. As a result, there is no longer any distinction between Gentiles and Jews, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarians, savages, slaves and free, but Christ is all and Christ in all. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then, you must clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. That was Colossians 3. This old self and new self thing is important. It covers habits, ways of life, things that affect our lifestyle. So, new life equals new lifestyle. And the picture here is such a simple one. we put on this new self in a similar way to how we put on clothes. So, next time you're browsing your wardrobe in the morning, thinking of which dress or shirt or pair of breeks to wear, also think, which part of your new self are you choosing today? Renewal. Part of this new self is the new mind which we have. But we're not to see this as a one-off event. It's something which is an active change. It's new and it's continually being renewed. Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and pleasing to God, for this is the reasonable way for you to worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but continually be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may be able to determine what God's will is, what is proper, pleasing and perfect. So our mind is changed when we first get to know Jesus as our friend and saviour, but it's continually being changed into God's mind. This is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, and it's something we participate in, we contribute to by prayer, spending time with God, doing God's will, asking for more of God's mind in our mind. This is how we come towards Christian maturity, by the ongoing renewal of our minds. So, as closing thoughts, I think the message for today, at the start of a new year, is to keep focused on the new things of God, to celebrate the newness that God has done for you when you got to know Jesus. To continually live in the newness of the life in Jesus. To put on clothes of the new self. To set our hearts on the new reality. As a final quote, Colossians 3:1. You have been raised to life with Christ, so set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right side of God. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on things here on earth. So that's it for today, folks. Let me wish you a very happy new year. Look after yourselves, take care of yourselves, and I hope to see you soon. Bye.